Welcome back. We haven't seen you in a while.
No, I have been running around.
You were in Japan?
I have just come back from Japan. I took 13 students to Japan this last month. That's why I couldn't be here at the first of the... We left on the day that I should have been sitting here at the radio. But we got there and got back, and 13 Japanese students are coming here, which I'll be able to take care of for about 3 weeks. And it's an exchange program between the two colleges of art.
Oh, very good.
I was busy.
So you had a good holiday yesterday?
I think so. It started. I wasn't feeling too well, but the holiday was a lot better. There was the ubiquitous 4th of July. I have a pin that is a very old pin that says, "Meet me in Urbana on the 4th of July." So I always make an effort to be somewhere around here on the 4th of July.
Very good.
It's an old pin.
Well, I see we have a caller already, so we can talk with
Mercy,
them.
Mercy, yes. Let's go.
And we'll get right in it on our toll-free line. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Well, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And just great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
You've been a lot of places.
I have indeed. I was on sabbatical for the last of the semester, and so I indeed have trundled around a little bit. I worked a lot here, but I also took the advantage to run off to India in February, and then I was in Mexico at Christmas time, and then I have just come back from Japan. So I have been wandering around the oriental part of the world a bit.
It sounds like it.
It's good.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're glad you made it back.
Yes. Well, I'll be here for a while.
I hope so. Mm. I'm counting on that.
Well, what did you do yesterday that was wonderful?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I did yesterday, because yesterday was I marched in the, I guess I could say, I marched in the parade.
Well, that's good.
They had a heritage part of it, and I'm Slovakian, so I marched with the Slovakian flag. We had about 25 people marching with various flags, and it was very interesting.
Good.
Very, very interesting. The things that I usually bake on 4th of July are of the old baked beans, which always go over. I make the, everybody seems to like the recipe. It's kind of sweet, maybe that's why people like it.
Isn't that interesting? Because the one I make is very sweet, and everyone says, "How come these are so good?" And well, my feeling is, well, I did put enough brown sugar and molasses in it. What more? Yeah, I think that people are sort of surprised when they eat nice sweet baked beans. I like that.
It's just a simple recipe. You use 2 cans of 16 or 18 ounce pork and beans. Mm-hmm. And 3/4 cup of brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of dry mustard, and I think the dry mustard makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
And then 6 slices of bacon, and I do fry some of the fat off the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1/2 cup of ketchup, and you put it all in a casserole, and a greased casserole, and then put some of the bacon in the beans, and then top with the remaining bacon, and bake uncovered for 2.5 hours in a 325-degree oven.
325,
Real slow oven. I think that's what does it, too.
It wants to bake very slow, a long, long time. The idea that, some people just heat up beans, and that's about all they do, and I know you have... I set aside at least 4 hours to cook when I'm making beans. If I can't start them at 2 o'clock in order to eat at 6, I won't have them, or else we'll eat much later, because it takes always that long for me to cook.
Well, I always cook them till they're dry-looking.
Yes.
I don't like them real mushy-looking.
No, they want to be dry. You're right.
And then the other thing I make is scalloped corn.
Oh, what a treat, yes.
Yeah, I did find a new recipe using 1 can of cream corn and 1 can of regular, and then a package of corn muffin mix. Have you used that?
No, that sounds interesting. So by regular, what do you mean, regular corn?
Not the cream corn, just the regular corn.
Like freshettes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... 1 can of the cream, 1 can of regular, and don't drain, and 1 package of corn muffin mix, and 3 eggs beaten.
Corn muffin mix.
And there you've got three kind of corns there already.
Yeah. And how many eggs?
3 eggs.
Yes.
And green pepper, that's optional. Some people like it.
That would be awfully good, yeah.
And then you saute a small onion in 1/4 of
right.
a cup of butter.
Uh-huh.
And mix that all together and bake it. And
you put anything on top of it?
Yeah, you put grated cheddar cheese on top and bake for 45 minutes.
Cheddar
in
cheese.
In a 350 oven. Now, that's not my... That's a new scallop corn recipe that I have, but... And I think people like it, this one, better than the other one, because everybody asks for the recipe.
It sounds like you're coming up with something that's going to be very, very much like old spoon bread, you know, so it's nice and juicy and moist, and then has a good flavor of corn to it. And then the cream corn will thicken it, and then the regular corn will just add that much more corn to it, you know. That sounds good.
I wonder if I could deviate. May I?
Sure.
I just got back from New York,
uh-huh.
and I was there for 3 weeks. My mom and sister aren't well, and they have a nurse's aide taking care of them.
Uh-huh.
And she comes from Jamaica.
I see.
Delightful woman. And so, of course, we got to talking about cooking.
Oh, good, yeah.
And she said to me, well, would you like me to bring you a typical Jamaican meal? Well, you know I didn't say no. So a couple of days later, she came in with rice cooked in coconut milk.
Oh, my, yeah.
And
oh,
with
uh-huh.
pigeon peas.
Mm-hmm.
And then she made collard greens with some celery in and I think just a bit of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chicken was, she takes all the skin off and soaks it in lemon juice for about an hour and
mm-hmm.
then sautés it and cooks it with onions. And she only uses salt, pepper, and thyme, but liberally.
Hmm.
And it was just a delightful meal, and I enjoyed so much cooking, you know, eating something that was really different.
A new taste too. Yes.
What
didn't you find the coconut milk an interesting taste?
Yes.
Well, now you can buy coconut milk in this town, you know.
Uh huh.
And so you can repeat that quite easily. That's a good thing to cook with. There's a problem with coconut though, because coconut milk contains an awful lot of cholesterol.
Yes.
And that is a sorrow to me. So I only have it about twice a year, but I will cook with coconut milk about twice a year. But that is a problem with that. But rice cooked in coconut milk with pigeon peas, that sounds kind of good. And then greens to go alongside that, and then a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that was marinated a long time in lemon juice,
mm-hmm.
or lime juice. It would be either one. Yeah, a citrus juice. That's good. Did she have any names for those?
Because
they don't sound like special named recipes. They sound like good folk recipes.
Yes, she did. No, uh-huh. she didn't name them.
Uh-huh.
I was just complaining that I could never cook collard greens.
And
so she said, "Well, I'll bring you a bite." And then I, with the illness and the stress of the illness of the family,
yes.
I forgot to ask for the recipe, so I have to do that. Well, thank you, and
yes.
it's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We appreciate it. What does coconut milk taste like? You know, I've never had it. Does it taste like coconut? Or is
well,
it somehow different?
When you cook it, it thickens a little bit. It's, it's so special. I never thought of whether it tasted like... See, one of the ways you make coconut milk, it's not the juice from the coconut. Coconut milk is made by grating the coconut and pouring water over it and then taking that elixir.
Oh.
That's what you get. You get that sort of thing. And then actually what you're doing is that you're releasing the oils and such things from the coconut meat, and there's even a thing called coconut cream because it rises to the top. That's what you probably were making pina coladas out of. That's one of the mixes for pina colada is a coconut cream or a coconut milk. But I do enjoy coconut milk cooking.
But you're right.
I will only do it twice a year. I figure I can push it that many times. I can't tell you that it tastes like coconut. I guess it does because that's what you're eating is the essence of the coconut meat. But when you cook with it and you've got some nice hot flavors and other things with it, it changes its nature. Then as you cook it, it thickens a little bit and will turn brown, at least by the time I get done cooking with it. It's generally brown.
Well, maybe if you'd like to try it sometime.
Well, I'll give you a very, very simple recipe.
Okay.
If I can remember it out loud. Skinned chicken, take chicken thighs and skin them, and maybe about two packages of frozen spinach, and then a can of coconut milk. Yeah, I think that's all. This is a Hawaiian recipe called chicken luau, and it can be done with shrimp, but I do it with chicken, and that's just simply then heated up and cooked, bake it in the oven, and put it in that little square 9-inch pan, and just lay the chicken down, put the frozen spinach just. Lay it on top of it, pour the milk over it, and then cook it in that all the time. So then what happens is that the juices all get mixed up together, and then as it bakes some more, it evaporates, and then when it's done, when the chicken is done like you want it, you've got a good flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Should be taro leaves instead of spinach, but you use spinach now.
Okay, very good. We'll give it a try. Doyle Moore is with us this morning. He's joins us on the program, generally speaking, once a month on a Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month. We talk about cooking. We share recipes and cooking stories, and it's always a lot of fun. If you have some, and we have a couple of callers hanging on here, you have some dishes. Maybe you made them yesterday for the holiday, but that needn't be the case. If you just have a good recipe you'd like to share with us, as the first caller did, give us a call. We do have two local lines of free, and that number is 333-9455. We'll talk with somebody else right here on our line one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a kind of a picky point about semantics in terms of coconut milk. Mm. Coconut milk actually does not have any cholesterol whatsoever. Because it's not an animal product, it can't. It does have very high saturated fat content, however. And it's something that, as I say, it's just kind of a picky semantic thing because it's going to have the same effect on you, but it doesn't have cholesterol. It has it's very high in saturated fats.
Oh, okay.
But I also have a question.
Okay.
You mentioned that you can get coconut milk in town locally.
Yes.
I have not been able to find it. Where can I find coconut milk?
Number one place is at AMCO on Green Street, which is near the campus, and the second place is in the it's over near Foremost Liquors. It's the Chinese store next to Foremost Liquors. Both of those places are my sources of coconut milk, and it's in tins.
Okay.
I don't have a source of frozen coconut milk, but those two places.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll check
sure,
it out. Thank
they're
you.
Good.
Okay, thank you. On to somebody else here on line four, our toll-free line. Again, hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure. He didn't tell me what line I was on. I would reiterate what the lady has said before. There is no cholesterol in coconut milk. But you can... how would this... You can... My word is not coming. Anyway, but if you have a high fiber diet,
mm-hmm.
you can cut the effect. That's what I was wondering. You can cut the effects
mm-hmm.
if you don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're finding out so many things now they didn't know before.
Well, there's always new information coming along, isn't there?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the funny thing. For about almost 15 years now, we have been following the natural people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been saying that all along. And the other people say, no, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, now AMA is beginning to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, who do you believe?
Well, I don't know who you believe. A lot of it is being consistent in what you're doing instead of jumping back and forth. And
yeah.
So you can believe either one and be very consistent and probably be better off than jumping on every fad and every fashion that comes along.
That's pretty much what I've
mm-hmm.
pretty much
mm-hmm.
what I've decided. Also, I you pretty much the same thing with my baked beans that you do, except for one thing.
Yes.
I don't use brown sugar. I use a combination of raw honey and pure maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Uh-huh. Mm. And I take a small onion and sink it to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
or into the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I use the dry mustard. It's better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I made it, have you heard of Bullseye barbecue sauce?
No, that's a new one, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's very rich, but also very.
I like KC better. KC is my new barbecue sauce to put in the beans.
I haven't tried that one.
Well, I'm surprised. I mean, I was surprised. I really was surprised at how good it was. But you say bullseye.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try that.
Although I cook my own beans.
Uh-huh.
You know, I go from scratch. I don't use canned anything except tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
That I do use, but other than that, I don't use cans. And I don't think they're offering frozen pinto beans. Or you can use a combination, by the way, of pinto and northern if you want to.
Yeah.
Or you can use the old-fashioned plain old navy bean.
Yeah.
But also you can use red bean, but it gives it a different taste.
Yeah, that's another flavor. You get that red beans and rice flavor it's a browner taste, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess it's the best way to describe it. Yeah.
My favorite, let's see, I didn't make a favorite this year, but I did make something else that I think I'll probably make again.
Uh-huh.
The rule is fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You can layer it or not as you choose. I used florets. You're supposed to use cauliflower and broccoli florets, but cauliflower was just too expensive, so I used the broccoli because it was on sale for a change. Sliced red onion. Mushrooms, if you want. I found some those golden green peppers.
Oh, yes. Oh, the new yellow ones,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, those. Well, they're not new, but it's the first time I've seen them on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we have to grow them in our own gardens.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a wonderful salad. I keep talking, you won't have any time for anybody else.
No, we're doing fine.
But there's a wonderful Polish salad that you can make by you take the green and the yellow, and you toast them until they're crisp, and then you peel that off and make your own marinade and use onions and garlic and whatever else you want.
Oh, yes.
And you marinate it overnight. Well, that's what you're going to do with this, except that I didn't go through the toasting process. I just cut it in thin strips.
Mm-hmm. It changes it when you brown that skin and peel it off. It changes the flavor of it.
Taste. It's they get a smoky type of taste, which we like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been years since I did it because I hadn't been able to find the plants for the golden peppers for a long time. And now they're showing up on the market.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's why or not. But anyway, the rule is fresh, and I had, by the way, one banana pepper in my garden. The first one to come up.
Oh, yeah.
And I sliced it thin and threw it in rather than throwing pepper in.
Mm-hmm.
Gave the right effect. Are you allowed to use brand names?
Well, I don't see why not.
Okay. I
don't mind.
I used a bottle of Paul Newman's vinegar and oil.
Oh, how did you like that? That's awfully expensive.
I did like it.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason I like it, I have a diabetic here, and there's no sugar in it.
Oh, that's very important. Now, I didn't know that. I've looked at that several times, and I said, well, I thought that I had looked at the ingredients and all, but I didn't realize that it was no sugar. That's an important fact.
It's an all-natural product.
Mm-hmm.
He spent years, I guess, developing it.
Oh, I'm glad to know that. I will try that, because that's an important feature, that there's no sugar.
Yeah, and try to, of course, overnight, you know, how often you get up is how often you can turn it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can marinate it at least 24 hours in a covered container in a refrigerator, if you've got a real tight seal, just dump it upside down.
Sure.
If you don't, which I didn't have, I had a big bowl, so I just had to turn it as often
keep
as I can.
Flipping it around.
Yeah,
and then but you keep it chilled.
You
do this chilled, yes.
My favorite that I didn't make this year was, are you familiar with South America's black beans and rice?
Well, I'm familiar with black beans and rice. I just made some the other day. What did you do?
Okay. I start with one cup of black beans.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to make a huge amount, no matter how you do it. Okay, you soak them, pick them over and soak them. Then cover them with cold water and add about a quarter of a cup of olive oil. Be sure it's pure olive oil.
Oh, I see.
Into that, toss at least one, maybe two cloves of garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And a bay leaf, and you bring it to boil. You know, you use a quick method if you want to. It
works. Yes.
Bring it to boil, turn it off, you know, and an hour later cook it. And be sure they're fairly firm. Try not to let them mush, although sometimes you can't always prevent it. And use the small black beans, not the big ones.
The little tiny ones,
the little tiny
turtle beans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you cook your rice, and here again, and some people don't like this taste, but I do, and I use it. into your rice, instead of putting butter, you put olive oil and lemon juice.
Oh, yes.
And you cook that, and then when it's finished, you use brown rice. The recipes all call for it, I think.
You want brown rice.
Mm-hmm. Well, both of my recipes call for brown rice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a very slight deviation from the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
After you've got it done, when you're assembling it, taste it for moistness. And if it's not moist enough, add a little bit more olive oil and lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the trick. You use oregano, cumin, and, I forgot the other one.
It might be thyme.
Yeah, no, not thyme. Cumin, oregano. Oh, crikey. I'd have to dig the dumb book out.
Well, I can't.
You could use thyme, but that's not it. It's an herb used cilantro.
Oh yes. All right,
cilantro.
But the green one.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you mix this all together. Then, as you assemble it, drain the beans, but don't rinse them, because you want that flavor to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to the rice, and very slowly, mix it together. As you can imagine, you're going to have a huge amount. But you can freeze this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And thaw it again. Okay, now you add garlic to your taste. How much you add is strictly up to you. But since you chop the fresh garlic and use that, you can imagine it makes a very strong flavor. So, to each his own,
Well, that sounds pretty good. It's almost like a salad by the time you get it done.
You can serve it as a main dish warm, they say room temperature,
mm-hmm.
or you can serve it as a salad, also room temperature, or chilled, in this weather chilled.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much for telling us that.
Oh,
that's a good one.
There's one more.
Yeah?
Quickly saute onion rings till lightly brown. Put that all over the top, and if you want to, add boiled eggs on top.
On top of these beans.
You don't have to.
Uh-huh.
But
onion rings and boiled egg slices.
Yeah, if you want to, it just makes it prettier. But you combine all that stuff except for the onions and the eggs, and then you serve it up. And it can be a main meal if you want to serve it hot. It can be a main meal.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of having a little cold. Well, I'd put more cilantro in it and probably add some more lemon juice and have it as a cold salad.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm, that sounds good
to
me.
And when you thaw it, taste it, because freezing does something to the taste. You might have to add more oil.
It changes. Yeah. It changes. It does indeed.
So find the taste that you want,
mm-hmm.
and then stick with it.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Doyle Moore is with us this morning. He's our chef in residence on Focus 580, and we talk about cooking. It's always a good time. We always have a lot of good recipes that listeners like to share with us. And if you have one, give us a call, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Shall we go on?
Sure.
Talk with some other folks? Okay.
I was going to bring you something to eat today, but we ate it all last night.
People are still teasing me about the crumbs.
They were good, though,
about
weren't
the
they?
Well, that's what I tell them. I say, sure, they were crumbs, but they were great crumbs.
They were great crumbs.
That was the last time you heard
yes,
when
it
you
was.
Were doing the wedding cake.
Right, right.
Well,
the wedding came off. Everything was wonderful.
Yeah, you were going to bring me some.
Well, I was going to bring you some today, but somehow it all got eaten up. We'll talk about that later. Here's some folks to talk
to. We'll talk with these people instead. Here on line one is a caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have two good recipes that don't have any sugar in them.
Mm-hmm.
My husband just went on Weight Watchers, and I have in-laws who are diabetic, so I'm always looking for recipes to cook that don't have sugar. And one of them is for a blueberry pie, which is absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You can either make it with a single crust or a double crust. I used to make it with a double crust, and when he went on Weight Watchers, I made it with a single crust.
Good.
Because there was less bread.
Mm-hmm.
But you take approximately 4.5 cups of blueberries. That's for about a 9-inch pie pan.
Mm-hmm.
And you take 3 tablespoons one to four, depending on how sweet the blueberries are, of pineapple juice concentrate.
Pineapple juice.
And
now, when you say pineapple juice concentrate, how do you get that? I don't know about it.
You just go to the grocery store where they have fruit juices in the freezer, And they have apple juice and pineapple
juice. Oh, in the freezer.
In the freezer
section. I see.
And it's concentrated pineapple juice. So it's really sweet. And then about a quarter of a cup of flour to thicken it. And mix that up in a bowl, stick it in your pie crust. And either put the lid on it or don't put the lid on it, depending. If you don't put the lid on it, the top blueberries look kind of funny, but it tastes the same. Tastes the same. And it does save you the calories of the top crust. Add it. Bake it for about 450 for 10 minutes and then 350 for about a half hour.
450 for 10 minutes, yes.
Or 350 for a half hour. Or I've also baked it when I've been baking it with something at 350 until it's done. So that's, and it's delicious. I've both of these recipes I have served to people and then told them it had no sugar in them and had them argue with me that there is sugar in them. This is perfectly legal. And the apple pie recipe is heavenly. You may, it's a two pie crust. I haven't tried this one without a top crust, and I...
Probably you wouldn't, because the apples will dry out, yes.
Right, but you take about four or five Golden Delicious. Golden Delicious work best. You can use Red Delicious, but they're not as sweet. The pie, resulting pie isn't as sweet. But four or five Golden Delicious, the big ones, depending on how big your pie pan is. And then you take a six-ounce can of apple juice concentrate.
Six ounces of apple juice,
You take your frozen small, that's the small can of apple juice. You take about 2 tablespoons of the concentrate out and mix it with about 2 tablespoons of cornstarch. You bring the other 4 ounces of apple juice to a boil, and then you add the cornstarch, cold apple juice to it and thicken it. Throw in, it says a teaspoon of cinnamon. I have never made it with that little amount of cinnamon.
That's an awful little amount, isn't it?
Yes, whatever you like as far as a cinnamon in your apple juice, and about 1 or 2 tablespoons of margarine, which you don't have to add. It does make a thicker, creamier pie, but it tastes fine and does not affect it. If you want to cut down on the fat, you don't need to add a tablespoon, a couple tablespoons of margarine. And you bake it again the same way, about 10 minutes at 450, 350 till it's done, and it's delicious. I've made these for people, and they keep going, you know what I mean, they don't have any sugar in them. And they're very easy. They don't require a lot of thinking, and you don't have to get out your sugar.
Those are very direct, yes. That's very good.
And they're great because you can feed them to your children or whoever and don't have to worry about them eating all that sugar.
The sweetness is natural and comes from the juice and just from the apples themselves, sure.
And it's great. So I just wanted to know.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank you.
That's
a good help because it satisfies that sweet taste anyway.
Right. And you wouldn't know that they don't have sugar in them. You're going to get that sweet taste that you want and crave. They're not low calorie because the concentrate does have more calories, and so you're not going to cut down your calories.
No.
They're not low calorie,
no.
But you are cutting the sugar, so at least you're not getting the artificial.
That's a good help.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Good, great. Thanks. Let's see. We have somebody else here on our toll-free line.
Yes.
Oh.
Hello.
I'm also happy to have Doyle Moore back again.
Thank you.
I was wondering, this is just a more of an observation than anything else. There was a caller a few calls back who was distracted because she wasn't sure which line she was on.
Oh,
And that we are all amateurs and are all extemporary speakers in this situation, and I sympathize with the mothers who call in who have children in the room to distract them when they're making these calls. You can turn your radio down, but you can't turn them down.
No, isn't that true?
And I was wondering if there was any way that WILL could maybe run a little inline course in how to make a call to a radio station so that you don't waste airtime. I'm the longest-winded designer live person. You know who I am now. Anyway, what I'm interested in, I'm also a male, well over 35, and I was wondering if Mr. Moore is aware of anyone, presumably in the same class as I, if there's anyone out there who has ever written a cookbook for what I call the male survival idea that years ago I began no red meat and a more or less vegetarian low-fat, high-fiber kind of diet years ago. I mean, 1970 or thereabouts, and I've been glad about it. But it seems that we're the most endangered species, if you will.
There are a lot of situations that attack adult males more than other people, mainly because you are going along and then you change your style of living or your activity or something like that, and you don't change your other life habits, and that generally gets a lot of people into trouble. Most of it's male ego and stubbornness. that's the problem. So I imagine it would be a need to examine what you're doing. But I should think that you've got the source books because it sounds like you have a good idea of what it is you're looking for. I can't think of any cookbook that is specifically aimed at that, but there are a lot of helpful situations in books that tell you how to moderate your life's activities as you get older and change jobs, change attitudes and all kinds of things. You change your diet, and we don't often do that because we think we got the right diet, but you don't always do that.
So
my thinking is just to pay attention to the sources you've got, and you're going to have to make up your own. Maybe it's a good thing for you to publish. Why not?
I may do that.
Yeah.
I am kind of a traveling writer.
Uh-huh.
I've lost the association with WILL for many months at a time when I have to go to Bell Labs in New Jersey or someplace like that, and I really miss it because I don't know any other station and I don't know any other group of guests with whom I've enjoyed, you know, listening or conversing with and from whom I've learned so much. And this was a question I had because it relates to cooking, and it relates, too, to people who try to have a good, long, healthy life.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of it has to do with diets, because when I do travel, you mentioned a lot of it earlier in the show, I have to rely on restaurants, and oh my.
Yes.
I gain weight, and I don't feel that I'm eating properly.
Yes.
And how can you change your life, your even though I have a consistent vision of how I would like it to be, you can't change as fast as the situations present themselves to you. So that, again,
There's one group that has paid attention to that. Weight Watchers gives you a lot of hints in some of their books on how to deal with restaurants, because it is it's a technique. I mean, you can ask for certain things and you can get those things. I don't mean special dishes prepared for you, but in the manufacture or the putting together of some things, you can ask for certain combinations that are not as harmful as to yourself as just the regular ones are. So that is one source I do know that has written a lot on how to eat out. And check with Weight Watcher people, because they've got that pretty well pinned down. And it surprised me that they say, well, of course you can go out and eat, and they show you how. That would be one source I can think of.
Well, the other thing is, I assume there is a class out there whose needs are not being well served. Women have a lot of books written specifically for them. I'm not saying that in a catty or jealous way, but we haven't hung together. We have not stayed together and thought male over 30, all of the subcategories and the threats posed by the statistics and the categories themselves. Another question, when you do travel around, if I were given the choice, I would always live in a big, multi-ethnic, multicultural city.
Oh, yes.
Because there, the ethnic, if you have to eat in restaurants, the ethnic traditions allow a lot more flexibility.
They do,
I'll
indeed.
I'll never forget being in DeKalb, Illinois, and I asked the man for a can of tamales. I mean, he didn't know what a tamale was, much less they were in cans. That's a problem. How do you get things? I know Champaign-Urbana is an urbane situation,
quite.
You can go a few towns away and you're in the boondocks. How do you deal with the variety of foods that you need for our very specialized diet, or even your likes, your to pamper yourself a bit?
Well, one source is, of course, your own garden. You could if you don't have a garden, that's no answer. But in smaller communities, there's a lot more attention to home preserving and garden usage. The bigger towns make it possible for you to shop every day and get fresh vegetables all the time. But that would be one thing. And again, you see, it's a matter of changing your lifestyle, because you don't have the time to do it. Well, then you have to take the time to do it. So that would be my thought about that, was that you can sort of prepare for it, knowing that it's going to happen. I wouldn't look too askance at publications thinking that they're all only for women, because a lot of them are talking about nutrition and habits. And the main thing that we're talking about now is changing some habits. And if you're aware of that, it can be just as much of a problem for females as it is males. But I haven't run into a book that is specifically designed for male consumption. Maybe there's more of a market than we think there is.
That may be true. I've written a lot of books, but in the proprietary technical manual way, mm-hmm. for large organizations and universities. Maybe I ought to go on my own and do it, because I'm sure the facts are all out there. And it.
Oh, I think they are. Yes, I think that they are. And a lot of nutritionists could give you some help. There's a lot of nutritionists around this town that could certainly supply that. You could make quite a combined effort out of it. You could call it 30 something.
Might be a little copyright problem.
Oh, there. Well, I don't know. You could spell it different.
The Marlboro Man's Cookbook, The Rough and Ready Guys Who Wants to Stay That Way.
That's right. That's good. Well, thank you very much. That's okay. Some interesting thoughts.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have about 6-7 minutes left here this morning. If you'd like to get in with some recipes or any other sort of thoughts that have to do with food, you can go ahead and do that. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. You haven't given a recipe yourself.
I do happen to have a recipe, and this is exactly what I did yesterday for 4th of July. Somebody wanted a dessert. It was interesting because one of the desserts that was mentioned this morning was very similar. But I was called upon to make a dessert yesterday. I went out and got fresh peaches and fresh plums, mm-hmm. and peeled the peaches. Did not peel the plums, sliced them up in a large flat square pan. I think that was the 9x13 pan. In that case, I used 8 peaches and 8 plums. I've done it before where I use only about 4. You could use the little 9-inch square one. That's pretty nifty too, and about 6 plums for that. Only sprinkled a couple of teaspoons of minute tapioca over it, rather than flours and things. It's easier and faster, and it's right there. So minute tapioca will thicken up the juice, but don't put big globs of it in. Only about 2 tablespoons is all you need. It's a surprisingly small amount. And then I made a crumble top, which I used 2 cups of oatmeal and 1 stick of margarine and 1/2 cup of brown sugar and 1/4 cup of more flour, just to have a little more of a crust to it, and mince that all up in a bowl and spread it on top. So the only sugar that I used in the entire piece was 1/2 cup of brown sugar for all this, and the rest of it I squirted some lemon juice on the fruit, and so it was a nice tart fruit and a very light crust on the top, and I'm afraid it was all devoured. There wasn't any to bring.
That was what I was going to bring
to you, my own concoction of peach and plum crumble, but I'm sorry, it's not available.
Well, that's all
that's
right.
That's the way the peach crumbles.
I'll try to be brave and make it through the rest of the morning.
Well, all right.
We have one more caller here I want to get in
before
we run out of time. Here on our toll-free line. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm really surprised at you guys here.
Uh-oh.
Here, Doyle's been out adventuring in all kinds of wonderful places in the world, and you haven't asked him what he ate.
I'm sort of thinking that on a program soon to appear on a radio station near you, that we would see if he would do that.
Talk about what I
talk
ate
about
on,
some
on
of
all those trips. Yeah. Oh, mercy, yes.
And what recipes you have brought back that you want to...
I did bring a couple back, yes.
Good. good. I would love to hear it.
Well, then let's do that next. Let's do that next month.
Okay, especially about India, because there are. I've been doing a lot of Indian cooking.
I like Indian cooking very much
for health.
Yes,
and when you talk about low cholesterol, high fiber, low fat foods, it's amazing. Variety they offer.
Well, then we'll just then stay tuned, because in 4 weeks, then I'll, all right, then August we'll talk about Japan and India and the cooking that I was involved with there.
Great,
thank you.
Okay.
Well, good.
Okay, bye bye.
Good, very good. I knew that, at least I had the expectation that sooner or later we'd be doing that.
Well,
provided, of course, that you want.
Sure.
To.
Oh, of course, because I do collect recipes and cooking manners and such when I travel, and I did come up with a couple of good recipes. One from a good major recipe from each country. That's good. But we'll just talk about that.
So we'll keep
generally,
you in suspense.
Generally what you and maybe other folks don't realize is that I don't do all the talking on this show. It's the folks who call in that I enjoy listening to and talking about what we're doing rather than what is it that I did. But I will at least give us a start next time.
Okay, we'll do that. Well, here's another caller on our again on our toll free. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling back to say I just wondered if possibly we might celebrate along with the French this year their bicentennial and have a program on French cooking.
All right,
in honor of.
That's a good idea. Yes, a bicentennial for French cooking. We haven't done any specific cooking areas like that. That would be very easy to do. Yes.
Well,
all right.
They helped us get our independence. We ought to help them celebrate there.
Help them do a little bit. Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, good. Great. Well, we'll work on French cooking for independence.
All right, and if in future, as you're going along here, if you have ideas for topics that you'd like Doyle and I to track, well, not really me, but Doyle,
oh, sure. We'll
to talk about, you can write us or drop us a line. You know, we'd be happy to have suggestions. We sort of, Doyle really is the guy who comes up with the topics, and it's always be good to have some fresh input. Doyle used to joke about my sitting around looking up at the sky waiting for topics to fall out and fall in my lap, so... I'd be very happy to have any suggestions for programs.
Well, we've got the next two shows lined up. We'll do French cooking in September, and we'll talk about India and Japan foods in August.
All right. Well, I guess at that we'll have to leave it. We thank you very much.
It is time, isn't it?
For being, unfortunately, it goes fast. Well, next Monday, the first Monday next month.
Wednesday.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad somebody's keeping track of what I'm doing. The first Wednesday next month, Doyle will be back, and we'll talk a little bit about some of his experiences in China and India. China and Japan.
Japan
See,
and India.
It's totally falling apart here. It's a good thing it's the end of the program.
All right. Well, thank you.